This meeting is being recorded.
I wanted to welcome our new member. Doctor, thank you very much for agreeing to join us. We look forward to your participation and a very long and rewarding relationship for both the board and yourself. And we are always available. As chairman, I am always available to you. If you have any questions or concerns, don't hesitate to call me. The first item we'll consider is the minutes from the March 23rd meeting. The minutes have been distributed to everyone. Are there any suggested amendments? Hearing none, I'd like a motion to accept the minutes.
I have one question. Chairman, it's Joe McMahon.
Hey, good morning, Joe. Well, good afternoon.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I reviewed the minutes, and I was just wondering, is there going to be a report about Dr. Wilmot's questions about recusing because his wife is a member of the NYTB board, and also Patty Allschwide, whose husband is a member of the NYTB board. That was directed, the fund was directed counsel to give us a ruling on that or some guidance. And I was wondering if that was going to be in the general course of the meeting. Is that an agenda item in the meeting, a report on that, or should we deal with it right now?
Since you brought it up, Joe, I will ask Kyle and also his advice whether or not he wants to discuss it now or include it as a personnel matter in the executive session. Kyle?
Hello, everyone. Yes, I did follow up on this on that issue that Dr. Wilmot had raised at the last board meeting, and I am prepared to discuss it today. However, I do think it relates to a personnel matter, and I would prefer to do it in executive session.
Okay, thank you, Kyle. Then we'll add that to the agenda for our executive session, which will commence immediately following this meeting. Okay, in that case, I'll take a motion to accept the minutes of the March 23rd meeting.
This is Richard, so moved.
Thank you. Second?
This is Naja, second.
I would second it. I don't know if I'm an official member right now or not. It's Joe.
Second. Thank you. The minutes are approved. We'll move on to item three.
I can interrupt, excuse me, Mr. Chairman, but I just was texted by Phil. He is in the waiting room. I think, Jill, you have to admit him.
I think he might have been admitted already. There was somebody that just rejoined again. Bill, are
okay,
you?
Phil, are you there now?
I got cut off. I'm back. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Phil, so we're just on item two of the agenda, the approval of the minutes. Did you have any changes or suggested amendments to the minutes of the March?
No, I heard it all. I just was in the waiting room. Thank you. I'm fine. Thank you.
So there's been a motion. It's been accepted. The minutes are approved. We'll move on to item number three, the April financials. Jill?
Okay. At this point, these are a little old. May has just ended. Unfortunately, I don't have any numbers for May yet, so I can't update you on that. But I will say that April was very strong with our revenues, especially with Resorts World. And just because we have deposits are made weekly on the Resorts World VLT funds, and it looks like May was also a strong month. So that hopefully will help us to exceed our budget expectations. If you look at the year-to-date as of the end of April, we're almost $346,000 over what we had budgeted. Obviously, we're substantially over what we did in 2020. The other piece of that are the awards. and through the end of April, if you were to take the Breeder Stallion and Owner Awards, the three of them combined, we're about $22,000 under our budget. So again, that just is a positive to us as far as helping us to meet our budget expectations at the end of the year. I don't have anything for May to report on right now. The only thing that I want to bring to everybody's attention is on the last page with the accounts receivable aging. You'll see in the Catskill OTB section, over 90 days is about $179,000. And we recently received a check for about $73,000 that paid 100% of the 2018 past due. So, it's a positive. There wasn't any promise for when any additional funds would come in and bring that other $100,000 that's past due, bring that current. But it is a promising sign that we did receive the $73,000. Are there any questions on the April financial statements or any comments or anything? No? Okay.
Thank you, Jill. I'll have a motion to accept the April year-to-date financial statements.
This is Bill. So moved.
Second. Second, Pilmer.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The financial statements are approved. Moving on to item 4, Eagle Lakes Purse Enrichment Agreement. Tracy?
Yes, this was the purse agreement from the Finger Lakes where they spell out how they're going to use the $600,000 in purse enrichment we'll be sending them this year. And it was approved in a pass-around vote by a majority of the board. So today we need to ratify that vote that you guys took already.
Thank you, Tracy. Any questions or concerns about the agreement that we approved in the pass-around? Okay, then I would consider a motion to approve to ratify the approval.
So moved.
Second?
Second. Bill.
Any questions on the motion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Go ahead.
Aye.
Was there a question?
I have a question, not on the directly on the proposal, which is fine, but on the general Finger Lakes situation. I didn't know if this was an appropriate time to mention it, since it is related to purses. Naja is probably the best one to speak to it, but Finger Lakes has raised their purses, and there are certain implications for New York breads going forward at NYRA. Would this be an appropriate time, Mr. Chairman, to hear from Naja on this?
Sure. We have a motion. We had a second. All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
The approval that we had done previously has been ratified. Naja, did you want to speak to the Finger Lakes purse situation?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. As Bill mentioned, the purse increases at Finger Lakes, especially concerning the allowance levels, has affected the minimum bottom levels at NYRA, so that horses who win and run at Finger Lakes are currently ineligible to also run in the same conditions at NYRA. In trying to rectify this situation, I'm having talks with Martin Panza from NYRA, as well as NYSA, and keeping them involved, and we're kicking around various solutions in order to rectify this problem. Initially, NYRA was directly opposed to raising their $13,000 minimum level to $16,000 or another level, because Martin said it reflected it may have an effect across the country in horses they can recruit in other conditions. But we're looking to various other solutions, such as having those conditions exclude horses that race at Finger Lakes and otherwise, and I'll keep the fund board updated on the latest developments, but we are looking into the issue, as Bill mentioned, and it's quite concerning, but I hope we can reach a solution soon in terms of the next book at NYRA.
Thanks, Naja. Could you just explain how it works right now, what that means, the 13,000 minimum?
Certainly, Mr. Chairman. So at Finger Lakes, previously, a first-place finisher of a New York bred allowance race would be, with the purse structure, would receive, like, around a level that precludes them from the conditions at NYRA. So if the purse is at NYRA, the condition level is $13,000. In previous years, when there was not a purse adjustment at Finger Lakes, the horses that won at Finger Lakes would still be able to qualify and run in those same conditions at NYRA. With Finger Lakes purse condition changes, they are now eliminated. Now, I've been told that Finger Lakes did alert NYRA to this situation when they wrote their book, and they didn't receive a response. And I followed up with NYSA, and we're working on finding a specific solution to not exclude New York bred owners and breeders from participating in the same condition that NYRA tracks.
Thank you very much, Connor.
Naj.
Yes, Bill?
Naj, this is Joe McMahon.
Yes, Joe.
So I saw yesterday, this is the first time I saw this, where the purse, the total purse at Finger Lakes for an allowance race was, I think, $32,000 or $34,000. It brought my attention right away, like, where'd this come from? But, I mean, I'm all for everybody getting more money and their horses earning more. What do you see as the solution to this? Because the problem is that it's going to change horses from Philadelphia, from Jersey, from whatever. It's going to, if they raise it to the level where the Finger Lakes money is right now, currently, it's going to hurt the entry box, is the way I see it.
Well, Joe, so, I try to see it as...
What do you see as a solution to this? I mean, just, you know, just so that for the benefit of the board, they understand what's really at stake here.
Joe, if I may, I think the solution is, and I spoke to Austin Reed about it, texted with him, and he didn't suggest a solution, but to me the solution is you simply allow New York breds that race at the Finger Lakes in allowance conditions to also race in those same conditions at NYRA as they have in the past when we had the limit at the $13,000 first place purse level. Because it was always meant only for the Finger Lakes, so all you're doing is acknowledging the fact that you want the Finger Lakes runners to be able to come back and run at NYRA, because that, of course, will help their entry box.
Right.
Definitely, Joe. As Tracy mentioned, Martin did express the same concerns that you just mentioned, that it would have ripple effects across the industry, just raising that $13,000 level. But as Tracy mentioned, we are working on alternative methods. Specifically, if we could have conditions written in that level wouldn't apply to horses racing at Finger Lakes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that, and I hope that can work. That would be a solution.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I was just bringing it up just so that the whole board can understand what that issue involves.
Thank you. Sorry, Joe.
I mean, one of the reasons. Go ahead, Phil. I'm sorry.
Okay. Could you explain what, in more detail, what NYRA's objection to this is and Martin's objection? Because I often I hear objections from NYRA that are just so knee-jerk pro-NYRA that they don't really consider an external reason. So could you explain that a little better to me?
Yes, certainly, Phil. When we first reached out, and with me and Will and Pivich, the executive director from NYSA, because we started getting inquiries from many New York bred owners and breeders about the situation, Martin's initial response is that their hesitation to raising that $13,000 level is, as Joe mentioned, it would affect other purses across the country that aren't as rich as Finger Lakes purses. So as Joe mentioned, at Parks, Penn National, they would hurt in recruiting horses to those conditions if they raised the bottom $13,000 level. Now, what we are looking into to resolve the situation is specifically precluding horses that won at Finger Lakes, and I'm going to circle back around with Martin on that to see if we can get that done, because that would be a way that wouldn't harm the horses racing at Finger Lakes and wouldn't affect a ripple effect across the industry as a whole.
I'm a little confused by why Martin today is worried about entry boxes in Philadelphia or anywhere else, because I haven't really heard him worry about that before.
Yeah, I don't.
Well, he's not worried.
Go ahead, Joe.
Well, I mean, it won't affect entries at Philadelphia. Where is going to affect things is New York. That's where the change would happen. I mean, that's where the entry box would be affected would be at NYRA races.
And that,
the level says now winners of a race are the maiden, claim, and restricted, or 13,000. So that's specific to New York racing. Doesn't have anything to do with Penn National or anywhere else. You follow what I'm saying, Phil?
Right, but I'm just thinking this is very self-serving for, as usual, for NYRA, and they really got to get with the program. If purses are being raised in Finger Lakes, NYRA's having a good year. I mean, they need to just simply adjust their numbers to reflect the 2021 business environment, the free market that's going on. I mean, NYRA can't.
Phil, this is Bill. I just want to take a crack at my angle to make it perhaps clearer. Raising that number, 13,000, to a higher number would reduce the pool of eligible horses around the East Coast. And I think we would see more of that possibly in the winter when they're trying to fill races at Aqueduct. But be that as it may, NYRA is trying to be inclusive by keeping that number down as opposed to exclusive by raising it. So I don't think NYRA is at fault in that regard. And I think if the Finger Lakes exclusion can fit as another condition of the race, then everybody would be happy. And of course, it is a good thing that Finger Lakes is raising purses.
Right.
It's just that the new wrinkle, there has to be some kind of response or adjustment from NYRA. So while I do agree that sometimes NYRA, i.e. Martin, can be sort of perhaps high-handed, I don't feel that's the case here at all. I think it's actually our cup runneth over, and we just have to adjust something so that everything still works.
That makes sense. I appreciate it. I guess as a free marketeer, I'm always knee-jerk, when people are trying to control the market and trying to go against the trend. But I do believe that all you have to do is say non-New York and we're good, or just New York excluded. So I think as long as we take care of our own, that's what matters. But
right.
I don't see that. I guess I don't see that as a solution too much, because he still wants horses from elsewhere. So all right, I leave it to better informed people to do so. But as a free marketeer, NYRA should just attract horses because their purse structure does it.
Exactly. I wanted to add two other things while this we're on this Finger Lakes and New York Reds. First of all, I want to thank Naja and Tracy for trying to address the dropping of an old tradition at NYRA, whereby after the race and the rider and horse were coming back, it would be announced that such and such a horse was bred by John Doe in New York, or was bred by John Doe, period, or John Doe in Kentucky, whatever. They stopped doing that, stopped acknowledging the breeder of the horse. And so, Naja, perhaps you'd like to shed a little light on it, is approach NYRA and specifically the announcer, John Embriol, to try to bring that back. And the second thing I wanted to say before Naja speaks is that yesterday was showcase day at Belmont, New York Showcase Day, and I want to congratulate all the New York Reds, and particularly Central Banker, the stallion that the McMahons have, who had a huge day. And it shows that a good stallion can stand in New York. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, Bill. Thanks for that as well. And as you mentioned, unfortunately, there was a change made to the post-parade program at NYRA, which announcer John Embriol uses, in which the breeder name and the state in which the horse was bred was removed from the redacted from the program. We're able to find a temporary solution, and that Johnny I told me that going forward he will use the DRF past performances, which include the breeder name and state the horse is foaled, going forward. So we have a good temporary fix, and I also circle back with Barton and seeing if we can have the breeder name and state of registration entered back into the post-parade program.
Can I ask a question concerning that? It's Joe again. Why would they do that? I mean, part of the business, part of the attraction to the business is that people are identifiable, and that they, when they win a race, they get a certain pat on the back by John Embriol or whoever announcer it happens to be at the time. What would be the compelling reason to eliminate that in post-parade? Why do that?
Definitely, Joe. From what I was told is that this was in the pocket program, which is the small version of the program if you go to the track, and right. That is the program that Johnny I has been using. They no longer issue him a full program, which in the past, like Larry Colmus would use, which would have all the stated information. So, Johnny I is going to work with using the DRF past performances, and I'm going to speak with Martin to see if we can return back to a full program for announcers and, of course, the TV crew and try to resolve. But, yeah, it is a very, you know, disappointing situation that it happened. We do have a temporary fix, and we're looking to have a long-term fix, so it will no longer be an issue going forward.
Well, I think that's an important issue to breeders. I think it's an important issue to breeders. It's an opportunity where they do get recognized, and when they get recognized, it encourages other people to do it. If they don't get recognized, then that's a lost opportunity. Mm. So I think we should really, you know, work to get this that issue resolved. I think it's very important, much more important than on the face of it, the way it looks.
Well said.
That's my statement. Thank you very much.
I agree, Joe, and I'll stay on top of it.
Mm-hmm. Good. Thank you.
Thank you, Naja, and everyone. There's nothing further on Finger Lakes. We'll move to number 5, which is the ratification of our approval of Kyle's new contract. As everyone knows, Kyle has joined a new firm. And we are required to enter a contract with that new firm to retain Kyle's services. So, Kyle, could you just give us a little explanation so we can inform our vote on the ratification?
Sure. Yes, I changed firms after 27 years at Brian Cave and its predecessor, Robinson Silverman. I changed firms in early May. The beauty of the change is that I can principally work from home because that's sort of the makeup of this firm. This firm has 300 partners, most of whom work from home. There is a New York City office, but it's not something that is, you know, I'm certainly not required to be there. The design of the firm is that partners work from home, and we're known as a distributed or a virtual law firm. It's something I never would have considered doing, except for the fact that during the pandemic, I worked from home for 14 months, and I loved it. And I find I'm just as efficient or even more efficient doing that from working from my home office. And so this is a firm that specializes in that. So I'm real excited about the opportunity. I appreciate the vote of confidence that I received from the board members in the pass around vote. I very much would like to retain to stay on as fund counsel, and that's about it. I'm trying to make this transition as smooth and as uneventful as possible. So, but I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Anyone have any questions?
The terms, I'm sorry, Chairman. And the terms of my retention would be the same, as my engagement would be the same as they were at Bryan Cave.
Thank you, Kyle. Any other questions for Kyle? And hearing none, I'd like a motion to ratify our approval of the new council contract.
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Further discussion or questions on regarding the motion? Hearing none, all in favor?
Aye.
The approval is ratified. If no one has any objection, I'd like to complete the agenda before we move into executive session so we don't have to hang up, call in, hang up, and call in again. I'd like to move to number seven, which is new or old business. I understand that there's some old business that Tracy wants to discuss regarding the mayor's program.
Yes, the numbers have not changed since March. So we have 41 mayors that came into our states on sale that were priced at $50,000 or higher. I'm sorry, 42 mayors. And altogether from sales, we had 118 new mayors come into the program. So I thought it was a good time to mention that because I would like to discuss the $50,000 threshold, and I would suggest that not only board members be invited to that, but also stallion owners, because they gave up an awful lot to allow mayors to come into the state and not have to breathe back. Nazi, did you want to discuss that? You would like the chairman to name some people to discuss with you the leave of absence of mayors and the sales price?
Yes, Tracy. And, yes, Mr. Chairman. I would like to have a meeting, as Tracy mentioned, with key stallion owners and breeding interests in the state of New York, as well. The New York Thoroughbred Breeders Board of Directors would also like to be a part of this conversation in evaluating the rule changes that were made to our program last November.
Okay. Would it be proper to have a subcommittee appointed to deal with the mayor's issue?
I think so.
I agree as well.
Naja? Okay, then, Naja, why don't you chair the subcommittee? Any volunteers?
Well, it's Joe McMahon, and I certainly would be willing to you know, sit okay. down and talk about this. But this is an issue that really the stallion community has a lot at stake in this particular issue. And it should be, the stallion industry needs to be well represented in this discussion because it certainly will affect their business plans going forward if there were changes made. So I would just say that we should reach out to a lot of the stallion people, and there's not that many of them anymore. You can count them on one hand, basically. So I think that if it's not able to accommodate everyone from the stallion community, then the stallion community should work together amongst themselves to designate a representative to represent the stallion business. It would seem to me. So I don't want to make it us against them or anything like that, and I really want to avoid that at all costs. But I also want to make it clear that the stallion people are in a huge minority in this thing and have the most to lose, but the state ultimately loses. So anyway, that said, I'm glad to do it. I'm glad to contact other stallion people. I think I should do that myself, actually. But just that's my feeling on how we should have the makeup of this thing.
This is Bill, and I agree with Joe. I just wanted to say that he was, as we all recall, instrumental in polling the stallion folks before this rule change and basically brokering the deal with the 50,000 number. And now to review it, I think it's appropriate that Joe with Nausea, be the committee. And I would suggest that perhaps if there's a third, that be somebody like John Graziano or Richard Ball or somebody that's maybe arm's length. So that's just my two cents, as opposed to Patty or myself, since our spouses are on NYTB board. That would eliminate any, impropriety appearance. That's my comment anyway.
Okay. Unless anyone else would like to serve on this, I think that Nausea and Joe, with Tracy's assistance, can put together a group to reach out to the necessary parties,
mm-hmm.
and report back to us in August. If you could add this to the agenda for the August meeting, Tracy.
Sure. Yep.
Any recommendations you have with respect to our existing regulation or any proposals for any changes to that regulation? Anything else?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. No.
Any other
not for me.
Business? Any new business? Then I'll take a motion to adjourn this meeting and move to executive session.
Should we just say the date of the next meeting before we...
Yes, August 17th. I have down August 17th.
And do you think there's a chance that that might be an in-person meeting?
Absolutely a chance.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a motion to adjourn by Dr. Wilmot. Second?
Second.
Thank you. We're adjourned. This meeting is over. Thank you very much. And please call into the executive session, which will start immediately.